Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Country music, Todd Glass, and a little bit of Chicago. All this and more on a brand new Last Looks. Hit the theme.
They pick the worst movies of all time and try to decide. Somehow we've got 5 stars online and they elevate their mind.
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to your escape from a late to Xanadu. Paul, June, Diane, and Jason Van Zoo. Everybody in the house say fuck the moon. Skyline at the color of night. Balcony monsters, don't touch that mic. Tall Josh here, keep risking his life. He's the man alone. He got kids and a wife. Family, fast and furious, no holds barred, you can't be serious. Pluto Nash, no match for delirious. Shout out Geo Storm if you feeling this. Paul kissed his mom, that's a thing. June still accepted the ring. Jason can't eat flan or meringue, but the most important thing,
they pick the worst movies of all time and try to decide. Somehow we've got 5 stars online.
Hello, all you lady cops, cooking latkes. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Last Looks, where you, the listener, get to voice your issues on Samurai Cop, and I cannot wait to hear them. And later in the show, Jason and I are going to be joined by legendary comedian Todd Glass, who is going to talk to us about his newest stand-up endeavor. That's right, it's not a special. It is something that he hopes to do, and he needs your help. It's called The Event of a Lifetime, and you'll hear more about that in a little bit. Plus, you're going to hear an exclusive deleted scene from Samurai Cop, which was in San Francisco. I love going to San Francisco. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be back in San Francisco in just a little bit on my book tour with Adam Savage. That's right, from Mythbusters, Adam Savage and I talking about my book at Word Passage. And check it out on my website. Go to paulscheer.com. You'll see where I'm going to be. I'm talking to so many great people. I just announced this week I'm going to be talking to David Remnick in New York. He's slumming it. Honestly, he's slumming it. He's coming out to Brooklyn Brewery with me. And it's going to be on my release night, May 21st in Brooklyn. Tickets for that are like $11. And the San Francisco event is free. That's right. It's totally free. And my book is coming out. So please pre-order it. And if you do, you get to see all this cool stuff on my website. But if you want to wait until the book is like in the world, you can also sign up for a live virtual signing. No matter where you are in the world, you will be watching me sign your book. I'll take some questions and some answers. Plus, I'll be having special guests come in. And that is actually very cheap, only $35, because the book retails for $29.99. So you're basically getting a full show, an autographed book shipped anywhere in the world. I think it's a good deal. Although I think, you know, virtual signings are, it's a weird thing. I never heard of it before. Anyway, just go to Premier Collectibles for that. Again, all of this is on my website, but I've gotten ahead of myself. I really have, because I didn't even tell you that person that created that amazing opening theme. Well, that's John Cohen. And that was actually a submission in our theme song contest. Last year, we never got to finish it. You know, it's an open door policy, but we wanted to make sure that all the songwriters will get their airplay. So we're going to play some more reimagining submissions for the next few Last Looks episodes. Then we'll post the finalists on Discord and let the people vote on a winner. And, you know, we might even keep our current theme song, but at the very least, we'll just send the winner a bunch of goodies. Jason and I know this is an open door policy. It's not just about do it and be done with it. Even though our producers would like us to do that, we don't do things like that. It's a constant conversation. Anyway, now that the theme song contest is closed, I guess it's closed. I'm being told now it's closed. Know what? It's not closed. You can keep on submitting. Who cares? We're still accepting Last Look theme songs. You can send them to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com, but keep them short. 15 to 20 seconds is best. All right. Like I mentioned, I am touring all over the place. Jason and I are also on the road doing improv with Dinosaur. We're going to be in Seattle and Portland. I think Seattle only has standing room only, but it's a really cool spot, so I think you'll dig it. Also, you know, maybe you have some friends in Chicago. Come out, see me in Chicago, because I'll be there with Adam Pally on May 29th. We're just going to do some bits, talk about the book, and do some signings, but it's going to be fun. I'm trying to make these shows really, really fun. I appreciate y'all coming out. But anyway, enough about me, enough about my damn book. Let's talk about Samurai Cop, a movie that Discord user Dove thinks should have had the tagline, Samurai Cop, to protect and sever. Ooh, I like that. It's good. All right. Well, we had questions about Samurai Cop, and we might have even missed a few things. Here's your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is now time for corrections and omissions.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Springer.
And now for my final thought. We all make mistakes. Let's be kind to one another. Give birth to an 80-pound baby. He slept with your mother. You're happy you cut off your own legs by your own admission. A real episode, by the way. We all make mistakes. It's time for corrections and omissions.
Thank you, Randy Smith, for that Jerry Springer-inspired theme song. I love that, actually. It was really good. All right. Ashwin, what do you got? This movie was written and directed by an Iranian director who came to the U.S. after the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. So his grasp of English idioms and phrases wasn't the greatest. This led to a lot of unintentional comedy in his films, and he insisted the actors speak the lines as written. That's why, to me, the movie becomes so fascinating. It's an Iranian-American filmmaker's interpretation of American action movies, and he doesn't quite grasp what makes those movies work, but he recognizes the overall tropes and does bad imitations of them. It's like he watched a bunch of 80s action movies and figured it out. Well, yeah, 100%. We had the black cop and white cop are partners with a back-and-forth banter like Lethal Weapon. You had this angry police chief, like in every cop movie since Dirty Harry, and sex scenes and nudity to help sell the movie in various markets like most 80s action movies. So yes, you're right, Ashwin. This director was smart, but should not have really taken, you know, the West Wing approach. You know, shouldn't have just been like, my words are final. That's it. Aaron Sorkin was who I was searching for, but I just went with West Wing. And I know that you got it, so I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit hole. Bare Necessities 3000 writes, the end credits has the following acknowledgement. Our special thanks to the Adidas Company for their help and cooperation. How exactly did Adidas help and cooperate with this film? Certainly it wasn't with the swim attire. You are right. Here's my thought. They wear Adidas in the film and maybe they were afraid that they were going to get sued. And he put a thank you there. I don't know. Or somebody that like worked at Adidas gave him a little bit of money. Either way, I buy both. I buy both options as being 100% plausible. Lovely Lizette writes, I'm a little sad the police captain's famous club line wasn't brought up. It's just so good. All right, well, you know what? Let's listen to that quote.
So why don't we just help him and support him? All right? What do you say, huh, Cap?
I feel like somebody stuck a big club up my ass, and it hurts. I've got to figure out a way to get it out of there.
Okay, wow. I don't think I even remember that line. But you know what? Knowing what we now know about translations, it like I get the intent, and I think that's the thing. It's like when you're dealing with somebody who doesn't speak the same language. I've been in the situation myself. I was just in Paris, and I'm trying my best to communicate. And you get the the gist of it. And that's what I kind of get. I get the gist. Sort of like I would get the gist of being irritated if I did have a club in my ass and I would want someone to take it out. Anyway, let's go to the phones. The first call is from Allison from San Francisco. Just a heads up, Allison's phone cuts out briefly. So the scene that she's referring to is when the guy in the movie randomly catches on fire. Okay, Allison from San Fran, what do you got?
Hey, everybody. I was at the San Francisco showing of Samurai Cop. I had purchased the Blu-ray for this movie, and in one of the special features, Joe Samurai was telling the camera, whoever was interviewing him, that for the scene where the guy was on, they didn't know that they were shooting that scene that day, and they just showed up, like, slathered this guy in, like, a flame-resistant cream thing, and... like, there was no preparation by the set or the crew or the cast members, and there was no fire marshal on site, and the only thing they had in case of an emergency was that, like, somewhat small fire extinguisher that you see on set, which I thought was really crazy. Can't believe that they did that. Seems like a really high risk, but love the show. Still laughing about it. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, honestly... the shit that I did early in my career, I mean, I was tied to a back of a Mack truck on a skateboard on the BQE, the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. No one told me I was going to be doing that. And you know what? I did it because the job paid $500. And that's the way independent film works, baby. All right, now let's go to Steven from San Jose.
Hey, Paul, this is Steven calling from San Jose about the hospital scene. So they... when they sneak the bad samurai in, he's hidden in a janitor's cart, which, by the way, just has a kitchen, like a kitchen trash can in it, like with the flip, the lid that goes around in circles. Anyway, so they sneak him in, and then they sneak him back out. But he's dressed as a doctor. He has a lab coat on. Why is he disguised? He hides in a cart, and then when they go outside to leave... someone comes up to him to ask him a question, and he just attacks them immediately. Doesn't pretend to be a doctor, nothing. Just attacks them immediately. So why does he need a disguise? That's what I got. Thanks.
Well, look, I think in some level he is trying to be anonymous and blend in, and maybe, you know, like, yes, they had to get him in the room one way, but then when he got out, he could be a little bit more... You could blend in. It's a blend. I don't, honestly, on all the things, I don't think that's the biggest issue this movie has. Anyway, we talked even more about that scene during the show than you actually heard in the podcast. So before we get into a few more corrections and omissions, check out this exclusive deleted scene where we do chat about that hospital scene.
Hi, I'm Christian. And my question is...
Well, no, your name, not your religious affiliation. Guys, it's because they went to church in the movie.
Not the millionth time I've heard that at all. What was my question?
Wow. Okay.
I gotta go.
Your question.
I think I gotta quit the podcast. I just got rocked by Christian.
My question is, from when they went to go cut the guy's head off, did anybody else wonder why she was wearing a lab coat when she was supposed to be, like, posed as a janitor?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of questions about that whole plan.
When she comes out, she couldn't be pushing a more suspicious-looking thing covered in bloody sheets, like...
You never...
It looks sketchy.
But by the way, you are replacing a trash can in a way that no one would ever replace a trash can. And then you think that that guy would be in the trash can, but he's just next to the trash can.
I will say, this is where the movie succeeds to me. Because when when she walked in, I thought, okay, she's there to cause some trouble. But then when she opened up that cart and he popped out of the side of it, like, it was like he was in, like, a sidecar or something. It was so strange.
No, it was like in Ocean's 11 where they smuggle the acrobat into the safe.
Yeah, it was just so shocking.
And he's
except it's Robert Sedar. his giant head comes like,
it was so surprising. And yeah, I thought about the costumes, Christian, for a long time, specifically the costumes in the setting of the hospital, because everybody who worked in the hospital was just in the same white long lab coat. If you were a nurse, you wore that. If you were a part of the janitorial staff, you wore that.
And again, this is everybody a hospital wore that. That is an apartment building.
That's right.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. I love Squarespace. I'm in the middle of trying to balance my business life and my real life. This work-life balance, it's tough, but Squarespace has been helping me by giving me the tools to reach my goals and have time to celebrate. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the guided design system of Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layouts to styling options, optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay. Plus, with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about. You choose your tone and enter what you need to get auto-generated perfect text. Anyway, I love Squarespace. I've been building sites with them from the beginning. And when I launched my book, I said I am doing it all myself on Squarespace, and I'm very pleased with it. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes, my family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new cinnamon crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at cap'ncrunch.com. All right, welcome back. Todd Glass coming up in just a little bit with me and Jason. And we also are going to announce next week's movie, but you know that. Anyway, let's go back to the Discord. Dax Odiva writes, I did a little searching for the actress that plays the love interest, Jennifer, who Paul said vanished after making the movie. She is credited as Janice, or sometimes Janice Farley. If you type Janice Farley model into a search engine, you'll find several pictures and posters of the 80s. She is from Reno, and she was a runner-up at the Miss Nevada pageant, and the last source I found is a newspaper article from 1994 saying that she renamed herself Justine to follow a career in country music. Well, look at this. This is Justine. That is amazing, because I think someone at the show said that she became a real estate agent. Can we find some of Justine's music? Wayne Melton wrote the article. What do you know, Wayne? You could also check out the Discord to see this great picture of this article. And thank you for that research. Bat Zaro writes, the Dave Matthews Band has a song called Samurai Cop. It's named after the film, but actually has nothing to do with it. Here's a clip of Dave Matthews talking about the film and his song in an interview on Sirius XM.
Samurai Cop is an A-list, B-list movie. It's not well executed by any means. There's no great performances in it, but it's so perfectly bad. I've watched that movie maybe more, almost more than anything else. And I feel like, because I've talked about it quite a bit, I feel as though it's I may have had something to do with the making of the second one, which happened 30 years after the first, but maybe not. I named the song Samurai Cop because Samurai Cop was playing in the background while I was working on it. But it has nothing to do with Samurai Cop. It's just a cool name. It's like the coolest name. In fact, it couldn't have less to do with a Samurai Cop than it does. It's like a lot of the songs on the record. It's about love. It's about common ground. It's about things that bring us together. And that's really what it is. But I called it Samurai Cop because that's a cool name. Maybe that would convince someone to pay attention to it.
You know what, Dave Matthews? I like you. But if you're going to make a song called Samurai Cop, make it about Samurai Cop. You would make a great Samurai Cop song, and there's still time. Rocket Wesker writes, I think many of the indoor scenes were shot in either the director's house or a barred home. This explains why we see the good and bad guys gingerly opening windows instead of straight up breaking them, despite the fact that they are conducting a raid. You're right. That is actually really interesting. This also explains why the martial art trophies covering one of the living rooms belonged to someone, maybe a stunt guy, who was like, no, you're not breaking my windows, and I'm not taking down those trophies for your movie. 100% agree with you, Rocket Wesker. Very good observations. But you know what? Even though that was a good observation, I don't think it's a winning observation. There were so many great corrections and omissions this week, but there could only be one that is best, and that truly is our detective, Dax O'Diva, who figured out that Janice Farley became Justine, and now we must find her music.
You win nothing. You win. You win nothing. Except for this song.
If you have more information, you want to send us those songs, hit us up at discord.gg/hdtgm or call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. Now, before Jason joins me to talk to Todd Glass, I want to remind you that every Monday we re-release an old How Did This Get Made episode back into our feed. You know that. If you subscribe to the show, you're getting them in the feed. This week's Matinee Monday was Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. Next week will be Shaquille O'Neal's genie comedy classic, Kazam. And we love that you're listening to them, and you can always request ones that you want. All right, so let's get into some last looks, and maybe I'll have the Action Jackson 5 play us in.
Huge mistake, the Action Jackson 5.
I love those balls.
Just chat.
I love. I love
just
those balls.
Chat.
I love those balls,
pull
too.
Pull that quote, put it in a song.
Well, Jason, I am very excited because we have one of my favorite people, a great stand-up comic, the great Todd Glass, joining us today on Last Looks.
Hello. Good to be here. How you doing, Paul?
Thrilled Jason? To have you, Todd. Thrilled to have you. One of the greats.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Todd, I have to tell you that your TikTok brings me more joy than anything. I save them. I show them to other people. And it's you. But it is also this heightened version of you just being like kind of a weird dude. There's weird stuff afoot.
My nephew always, and it's not like I'm trying to act like it's not me, but some of the stuff he goes, Todd, that's just you, but you play him as this crazy guy. But he goes, I know you dry your sink out before you go to bed. So, but yeah, during the pandemic, I found TikTok. I had time to really delve into it, and I really liked it. And my friend Caleb Sine, he said something I was thinking. He goes, Todd, TikTok is really all about you. Like you, I go, that's what I thought. You know, meaning you could, the things you could do and the videos, and you could do anything on Twitter, but it just seemed more my style. And I got this other guy, Chad Maxwell. He has, like 500,000 on TikTok, and I thought his videos were funny, and I met him through a friend. I said, would you help me, like, just the shooting stuff? And he did. Right. And ever since, I've just had a ball. It's a lot of fun.
They're always kind of like the camera's placed in weird spots. So it's like, you know, around a fire pit, or it's like, it feels like we're capturing these moments, you know, of you admitting that you killed somebody
he said it was like a Snapchat type of thing. I didn't even understand it when he first said it. And it's funny that those took off. I do a lot of, you know, I'll show stand up sometimes. I do a lot of those. Yeah. Those do well. Sure. But I go, what do you, I don't understand what you mean. He goes, Well, the thing is, like, what had you been saying before that people that are with you took out their phone and started secretly recording you? And they're always hiding it behind a bottle. You know, they're always like, they don't want to let me know they're recording me. It seems to be every situation.
So instead of people telling on you, you're telling on yourself.
Yeah. And it's not always really bad. It's just absurd stuff. But the whole style of it, to be creative, And you know, I it starts to make a difference at the clubs already. I don't have a ton. I have like 250,000, which is more than I had a year ago.
Yeah,
you can always,
a lot.
You know,
feels like a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's enough to start at comedy clubs that you see a presence of it, you know?
Well, what I like about it, too, is you're not necessarily the person that I would think of to be a TikTok star, meaning that you're not like an 18 to 24 year old who is out there creating content, you know, which I think is honestly, that's even more impressive that you're able to build that kind of an audience in doing like comedy content on TikTok.
You know, I'll make this so short, the part that you think I'm going to turn into a social conversation, I won't, because I'm even tired of hearing myself talk about that. But look, the thing about doing comedy that's great is you can do whatever you want. This is not a dissertation what anybody should do. But if all you talk about is how everything sucks now and kids are dumb, no, you're not going to go over there and find an audience. But I don't feel I have to jeopardize what I do at all to connect with a younger audience that still goes out to see comedy. And honestly, TikTok has not been ageist at all, because although the majority of people are younger, of course, that's with any newer type of social platform, there's people all over the gamut doing very well in there, and a lot of comedians.
And it's like it's a tool that you can use however you want to use it. I feel like there's a lot of people who can decry all these things, but these are tools that are able to be used in ways that are generating exposure, generating an audience, and it sounds like you're seeing it in clubs. And that's the deal.
Yeah.
I do it too, but people kind of look down like, oh, you got a TikTok. But it's like, but it's just a chance. And I think Jason and I, the reason why we started podcasting was because we liked that vibe of what the improv shows were like. It's as fun as we're together, we're just fucking around, we're having a good time. Like, it's kind of disposable.
It felt low stakes in a way that, like, when we started this 14 years ago, it felt like, the equivalent of getting up and doing a show at UCB. Like, okay, that was fun. And then it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And then you're like, oh, this is impactful. This thing has generated a whole other audience for us. And that's wild.
Yeah. I think people make fun of it. You know what? They're not making fun of, you know, when you've been doing this a long time, you come to these beliefs almost through like a detective. And it's not that they have a problem with TikTok, a lot of people. It's anything new. This was Vines. This was Instagram. This was podcasting. It's anything new. And I get it. Learning new stuff is hard. But it's just the anything new. They don't really have, what do they have a problem with? Hey, there's this vehicle. You can do fun things. They can be serious. They can be silly. They can be really kind. And you shoot funny videos with your friends and you can post them. Oh, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, no thanks.
No thanks.
I think there's always this like energy sometimes from certain people in our lives that like, well, if you show yourself trying anything, like you put some energy and effort into it and it's sort of like, nah, like it almost makes them feel bad that they're not putting energy and effort into something.
Well,
and
everything,
then,
everybody becomes calcified in the way that they do a thing. You know, the way that I do my thing is this way. It's I go to these clubs, I do these shows, I do it this way. And then anything that comes in and says, oh, you could also do it this way or this way or this way or this way. Right. There's either the people who are like, I'll adopt that and go with it. Yeah, great. That too. I'll do that too. Or there's people that are like, no, the way it has been done in the past is the way it should be done. And I'm going to keep grinding, you know?
Right. Just hit the nail right on the head. And look, I try to motivate my friends to do it. Like, I'm the same way. I didn't want to. It was hard to figure out the platform. That's why, you know, well, technically and creatively, I try to give this guy as many shout outs as I can because I love him, Chad Maxwell. So he took care of that end of it for me where I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Once you have 500,000 people, you make a lot of mistakes. And all he does now, he takes all that stuff he learned 500,000 people later and he throws it over my way. When to post, how to caption. There's so many little things, but it is a lot of fun.
And that is not your main gig. Obviously, you are one of, like we said, one of the great stand-ups. I loved your last special on Netflix. It's called Act Happy. You can watch it whenever. But we're not even here to talk about that because you have truly this big idea, this event of a lifetime is what you're calling it. And you're basically trying to crowdfund a real experience, a stand-up night, right. But it's going to be bigger. But it looks wonderful. You can look on your website, you can see the video, but tell us a little bit about the event of a lifetime and why it came up and how you're doing it and all this sort of stuff.
Thank you. And I'll sort of bark through it real quick because I think I have it down sort of pretty tight. But there is a 4.5-minute highlight reel on YouTube, Todd Glass, the event of a lifetime. And the guy did a really good job of capturing it. But here's the long story short. So I've been using the band, like you said, since even that my special. After that special, you relax because you're not shooting a special. I went on the road and I didn't always bring the same band, but it got tighter and tighter and tighter and then more bits. I mean, the guts of it are a stand-up comedy show. And it got pretty tight. And, I always realized there were a lot of missed opportunities, even when I was doing just a regular show at comedy clubs. The music you play as they're being seated. Oh, yeah, the lighting, So this just went to another level. I have a saxophone player playing in the street before they even get there. So if they're there half an hour early, before the doors open, right. I have a saxophone player playing outside. The two of the band members play as they're being seated. I mean, the show has started in a big way. When you get into the room and it's not just shitty little, I don't mean to insult jazz, but you know what I mean? They're not just tinkering. it's going strong, And sometimes, the doors open an hour before the show. So, and then after the show, I try to have an ice cream truck, or if we can't get a truck to pull up, we'll have like hot chocolate and cookies in the lobby. And then the band goes out there and plays. So it is a very, very tight, well-orchestrated machine. And this year I toured without the band because I wanted to get my stand up as tight as it could fucking be. And I'm almost done. I've always tried as a performer. I always liked comedy. So in because of that, I did pretty well. But now I go on stage like I have something to prove. Like, I didn't want me to be the problem with this show not being successful. So every slice of this show, I have really worked hard at. Harder than I've ever worked my entire career. And here it comes. And this explains a big part of the budget. Is if I go to New York and just do it, nothing's going to happen. So a lot of the money comes from in bringing in the big dogs when it comes to a PR firm and a campaign, like when a play is opening up in New York. That's the type of money you need. If you're not, you could throw 20,000 at it and that's really not going to do, unfortunately, shit, so it's to get a robust marketing budget along with the tech of it and the lights of it. But it's to do a run in New York, maybe for a month. And or 2 weeks, and
it's like you're doing a residency, right? Like it feels to me like you're doing like
it's Prince at the Forum. It's Prince at the Forum.
And the thing is, it is a stand-up show. So if you're craving stand-up, and I say that because I know what it's like to want to go out and see stand-up. You see your favorite stand-up, even in a good comedy movie. Forget about a bad comedy movie; just a really good comedy movie. You don't get as many laughs in that as you do a well-oiled comedian doing an hour and 15 minutes. We know a lot of guys go out there, they run, it's a lot of laughs per minute.
Well, so what I'm kind of thinking about it in the way, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, it's like when you see Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, he is going to play these songs, but it's elevated. You're getting a different experience. You're still getting a Bruce Springsteen concert, but it's going to give you this, It's a different thing. It's you're going for something that is
it's personal.
Unique.
It's like there's a personal element to it. It isn't just you're asking. It sounds like, Todd, you are asking for not just an audience that is reactive to what you're doing, just passively listening, but is proactive, is engaged. They are on board. They are part of the process, and that's exciting.
Exactly. And it just turned, look, it's sort of easy to understand music. Everyone loves music. So you're taking an everybody loves stand up. You're just taking them, putting them together. Like when the music's playing as people are being seated, when I say the night has already started in a big way, you walk into a room and I don't have the whole band out there, but some nights I'll put like keyboards, drums and trumpet instrumental. people come in, it's like for an hour, they're like, where are we? That's why I have it so dark, so people forget about the world. So it's just a stand-up comedy show with a lot of production. And by the way, it's not going to be on Broadway. We just want it to be in New York, presented in New York. And one more thing, really quick. I apologize for going so long with
you're
this.
You're not. This is great. This is what we're talking about.
We're here for this, Todd.
Thank you. Thank you. And it melts my heart, and I really appreciate it. Because, you know, I really want to make this happen. And the crowd source over at Seed and Spark, which is, they've been awesome. Seed and Spark, I'll say it again. Yeah. The goal is once I have the funds, I don't want to go to my comedian friends and ask for money. Of course, nobody would. But once I have the money, then I will go to some of them and have them present me. Like, I won't mention names now because then they'll all get nervous. I'm going to call them as soon as I have the money. But five people and all the advertising present Todd Glass. And if two people pay for it, let's say two people go, you know what, there's, what do they call those? They invest money in stuff, benefactors.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Sure.
So they get to have their name. Not everybody. It would have to be most two people we can squeeze in there, or one person. They
well,
get
yeah,
to have their
is that,
name.
Is that part of the campaign? Because I know there were campaigns in the past that I know of that where if you donate a certain amount of money, you get a credit in the special, or you get
yeah,
some element that is,
yes.
I'm now a, you know, a producer or by name, in name only or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. There's stuff in there, different, you know, one is like I do an hour show. It's, of course, it's not for each individual person, but an hour show from my studio with the band just for the people that give this amount. And one of the two high tier items are name the band after you or your business.
Oh, that's great.
For the night, just for the night.
Okay. Got
just
it.
For the night.
Great, though. I love that's a great one.
It's a high end item. But the biggest one is, because obviously we can only put one name on the billboard. If you pay for it all, you get to have your name and all the advertising with some, you know, really cool people. So if you're out there and you're a benefactor and you go, you know, I want to attach myself to a project that's got some cool names on it, that's not a lot of money for some benefactors.
Yeah. If you want to walk by a marquee in New York City that has your name presents Todd Glass, that's
with Sarah
rad.
Silverman or John Mulaney, Patton Oswalt. Yeah, that's right. Now those guys are like, oh, yeah.
I love it.
And I don't have... I don't have a yes from those people yet. I'm just listing people that I really love.
No. They are already calling in. They've already said yes.
Oh, shut up.
When you travel, do concerns back home nag at you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? Well, if they do, that's why you should invest in SimpliSafe home security today. That's right. For award-winning security and peace of mind wherever you go, SimpliSafe wants to be there with you by actually not going there at all, but staying at your house. Listen, Newsweek ranked it the best customer service in home security. Plus, it gives you whole home protection, sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Plus, a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, no contracts, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. I'm going to tell you this. It's worth it for the peace of mind to know that when I'm on tour, when I'm out there in the UK, I can check in on my house. And with the time difference between LA and Europe, I loved having the 24/7 professional monitoring service in case something happened when I was asleep or not reachable. SimpliSafe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/bonkers. That's simplisafe.com/bonkers. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
I mean, can I ask, like, I get that you've been doing this on the road and you really loved it. Like, what made you, this is a very interesting, I don't think I've ever heard anyone basically come up with an idea like this. It's like not Broadway. It is like, what made you feel so impassioned about doing it and staying in one location and being there for a while? Like, what was behind it Anything, or is it just the want?
I wouldn't mind touring with the show, obviously, but residency to me is attractive because, you know, residency 100% goes into the creativity. In other words, all your time, 100% of what you spend on working on your show, when you have a residency, it's all creative. There's no moving. There's no changing hotels. Every time you do something like that, and you can do it and still do a good job. I'm not implying if a show moves around. But if you have residency, it's easier to get a show tighter. But
when it sounds like you're saying comedians who tour on the road are cowards. That's what I'm hearing.
Hey, let me tell you, I've been doing that with this show for 5 years. And like I said, I would want to tour.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
We just did a tour in the UK and it was a lot of moving. And as a middle-aged guy, I'm like, I cannot do a show, get on the road again, a show, get on the road again. That's too much. I'd like posting up somewhere. What you're pitching sounds great.
Yeah. And like I said, I would, because you get to visit some cool cities, I also wouldn't mind touring with it as well. But the idea sort of came from, I would see these music acts and what they can get out of an audience, you know, like it's, and I was in a city, we were talking, me and the musician, and we talked about when he found musicians, and I said, when I found comedians, I found my people. Like, it gave me a life. And it really does. Like, I really like comedians. I get along with most of them. And even if I disagree with them socially, I like them. And so right. He said the same thing. And I'm like, can you do tonight a song? For once in a lifetime, I have someone who needs me. You know that song? For once in my And I go, can you do a version of that? And just dedicate it to all the comedians Todd's met over the years. And I go, there's a version of Sammy Davis Jr. doing it on YouTube. Go find it. He fucking shreds it. Wow. I mean, shreds it. So he copies, he does a version of it, even gives homage to, and he did it. And I mean, at the end of it, it was everywhere. He wasn't just dilly-dallying. He shredded it for 2 minutes. I said, do a 2-minute version. They're there for stand-up. And then at the end, boom, trumpets blaring, blackout. And the crowd, it was like you just gave them an hour and a half of a show. And I thought, I need to do this I need to turn this into something. And I was going to different cities. I'd bring one guy, but I'd get a local drummer. But once I used the same band night after night after night, that's when the show took off. That's when I'm like,
what you're describing is a show, you know, like it's a show where when people walk in, it's not just like, oh, we sit, we grab a drink and we wait for the guy to come out and tell jokes. What you're pitching is exactly right. You come in, there's already music. The stage is set. You are already walking them through the events that are going to lead up to you coming and telling jokes. But the show has already begun. And that's a much richer experience than just everybody just kind of bullshitting around until someone says, here, put your hands together for Todd Glass. Yeah. You know?
And by the way, it's already fun to go out and see stand-up comedy. Oh, I don't want to act like I'm saying... It's one of the most fun things you can do.
I think it kind of goes back to what we started from, which is like the TikTok of it all. Like what the pomp and circumstance, we've gotten into this thing where we strip everything away, right? And I watched that video the first time. It was, I feel like this is a show I don't see. Like these are the shows that my parents saw. They would go and see a show. And it was like, there was a band, there was a night out. Right now it's like, and you know what, look, I've done these shows too. You show up in what you were wearing. Yeah, you get on stage. Maybe you're reading from a notebook, whatever you're doing. You know, there's this, we're paring it down and that feels more intimate. But why not go backwards? Like we want people out of their house. We want to make it a bigger event. And I think it's a cool way of saying it's the same thing that you're getting. Everything's the same. But what was wrong with that? The show. What was wrong with the show? And I think that that's really awesome. Like why?
And I feel like if you're pulling people, there is such a, I think especially, post-pandemic and all the stuff, it takes a lot more energy, I feel like, to get people out of their houses and into a theater. And so to pull them out with not just the promise of it's going to be a fun stand-up show, but like it's going to be a larger production. This is something well thought out and that you are going to be surprised by, not just the surprise of funny jokes, but we're putting on a proper show. That says something worth like getting a babysitter for or coming in from the suburb, whatever it is. If you're in New Jersey, you're going to come into New York to see this Todd Glass show. It's not just some show. It's not just you going up at the Cellar. You're going to be putting on a show.
And you get to be a part of actually making it. And that's the cool thing. And that's what we're talking about here, too, which is like you can go to Todd's page, you can watch the video, but then also you can get involved with Seed and Spark, which is an amazing organization. They do this. I've been involved with Seed and Spark for a bunch of different projects. They do
They've been amazing. Huh. They're amazing.
I just love what they do to help creative people make creative projects. And I love this idea. And for people who are a fan of you, I love that you're just going to them and saying, help me do this thing.
I appreciate that. And sometimes you wonder you'd even need to say this, but I'll say it. Like, it's not even like I thought, what is comedy missing? It's just really like I enjoyed doing that. Like, oh, we should play cool music here. And I sat around with my friend one night and I go, you know, I talk about, oh, well, they're in the street. That's a missed opportunity. Well, they're seating. Is there anything I'm missing? Because I want to count from if they get there half an hour before the show, I can start the clock to now I can go till after the show if they stay and have ice cream and that. But she goes, what about curating a playlist? So if they bring the cookies home and the hot chocolate, by the way, I put in like a cup with the water's not in it. So they can go home and have their cookies and hot chocolate. So the cookies and hot chocolate are to bring home. So she goes, you could curate a playlist. I fucking love it. So not only does the show start two blocks before they get there, not just like, oh, I'm just saying it. Oh, it starts like it's some line. It two blocks before they get there, if they're walking. And then once they're home, and I've gotten some Instagrams, Todd, our hot chocolate and cookies make it home. We're listening to your music. And it's in the end of that video. So, you know, I really, and then again, this is the most important thing. And then I'll shut up. It's a tight, tight, good stand-up show, you know.
That's
well,
great.
I love it. And we're not talking about the most important thing is like, and you do it naked, right? The show is completely nude.
I do it naked. I'm doing anything I can to help put people. Well, I don't know if that would help.
That's the upper tier reward. If you really come in with that money,
they can be naked or they can request that
you Todd Glass.
I don't know if I could suck my gut in that long.
Todd, this is amazing. If you're a fan of Todd, and you should be, check out his Netflix special, and then that's
a great special. And but Todd, the special before that too, is that still up somewhere?
Yeah, that's Todd Glass Talks About Stuff, and that is, I think, up at Netflix as well.
Great,
I love it.
Two fantastic specials. If you are into this, you've got to please take some time and watch these specials. And I'm certain, and your TikTok, it sounds like.
TikTok, Instagram, and thank you, Jason, Paul. Thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, letting me come on and talk about this. And also, like I said, the quick response, it really goes a long way when someone gets right back to you. I haven't seen you in a while. You were like, I think, like, so quick. You got right back to me.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
No, I love it. I'm glad that you're here. Todd Glass, toddglass.com. Thank you for being here.
Bye.
Dynamite.
To support Todd's Seed and Spark fundraising campaign, just click on the link in this episode's show notes. The campaign runs through May 15th. All right, it is now time to finally announce our next movie. Next week, we'll be going from Long-Haired Fuzz to No-Hair Buzz. That's right, the next episode is our first international show, the 2024 Jason Statham action film, The Beekeeper, live in London. Here's a breakdown of the plot. One man's brutal campaign for vengeance takes on national stakes after he's revealed to be a former operative of the powerful and clandestine organization known as the Beekeepers. Rotten Tomatoes gives this film a 71%, too low for my liking. And since the show was recorded in London, for our review, we turn to Ed Power from the UK's Daily Telegraph, who writes, 30 years ago, The Beekeeper would have starred Jean-Claude Van Damme or Dolph Lundgren, while the villain's boots would have been filled by Rutger Hauer or Dennis Hopper if he had to pay for another divorce. You know what, Ed? Who cares? Let's talk about this movie and how great it is. Oh, you got Jeremy Irons as the bad guy. You got Statham as the good guy. I think you've positioned this wrong. Anyway, let's take a listen to the trailer for The Beekeeper.
Repeat after me. I will never steal from the weak, the vulnerable again. There's going to be a fire.
Okay, thanks.
This is a beekeeper. A special program outside the chain of command.
When the system is corrupt, I correct it. He's stolen millions from people who've worked hard all their lives.
We have laws for these things.
Until they fail, then you have me.
The Beekeeper, rated R, only in theaters January 12th.
You can stream The Beekeeper on Fubo TV and MGM Plus, or you can rent it on Apple TV, YouTube, or Google Play. And separately, I encourage you to check out Hoopla and Canopy, which are digital media services offered by your local public library that allow you to consume movies, TV, music, audiobooks, ebooks, and comics for free. All right, people, that is the show. That's it. Please rate and review it. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. Visit us on social media at HDTGM. And a big thank you to our producers, Scott Sonny and Molly Reynolds, our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, and our associate producer, Jess Cisneros, and our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia. We will see you next week for The Beekeeper.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.